dealing over these past few weeks with Lot's journey to Sodom, as we see what's happening in our generation, in the politics, in the legal aspect of our nation and our world, as we look at the church, as we look at the change in morality of this generation, the Lord is giving these messages to awaken us, to alert us, because this is such an hour as Lot lived in. Reading from Luke chapter 17, my message this morning is remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Luke 17 verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven and shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and it destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and notice this, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord God, just for this day of fellowship. Lord God, to rejoice in you, to praise, to remember your death. Lord God, even that these kids in our midst can receive of the gospel, Lord God. We just thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for your hand of blessing upon us. It's a wicked and an evil hour. Lord God, yet your hand of blessing is upon us. The joy of the Lord is in our midst, and we have a future. Future hope and expectation. Lord God, we are not as those that do not have a faith in you nor a love for you, but oh God, we have, Lord God, such a confidence in you in this hour. Now speak to us, oh God, speak to us in the midst of these days that are so like Lot's day. Will you speak to us? Will you visit us? Will you come to us in a mighty and a real way? In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus gave us this simple and clear warning. Remember Lot's wife. We've been dealing in this series concerning Lot's journey to Sodom. How Lot was journeying 20 years with Abraham and Sarah. There Lot is with all of his family, all of his goods, making the same journey that Abraham made. Two men, Abraham and Lot, both righteous men, both on their way to heaven, both know God, both have put faith in God that made them righteous. Both of them know the word of God, and both of them have a desire to get to their journey's end. Both Abraham and Lot are walking the same pathway for 20 years. When Abraham stops to pray, Lot stops to pray. When Abraham begins to move forward with God, Lot begins to move forward with God. These two men could not be identified as being different. They both camped together, worshiped together, prayed together, and made the same journey together in a pursuit of the God of the Holy Covenant. That's what both men were doing. Yet as we've dealt in these past weeks, both men were radically different. It wasn't their final destiny. It wasn't even their justification by faith that was different, but the choices they made, the direction they put their tent in, and the journey that they made in life, in time, in their daily life was radically different. Both of them had salvation, both of them had righteousness, but they didn't make decisions in the same way. Out of all of this story of Lot and his journey to Sodom. It is Jesus Christ who pulls out this one statement, and he warns not only the church, but every person in every generation, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. In this same chapter, Jesus also says in verse 28, he says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Who is this speaking? It's Christ. He's saying, just as it was in the days of Lot, all the circumstances of society is going to be the same as when the Son of Man comes again. As we've dealt with, I believe, this public manifestation of the legalization of homosexuality for the first time in all of world history, not only in Ireland, but progressively across the known world, is a mark that we here in this room this morning are living in the days like unto Lot's days. It is a warning that Jesus is coming back, that the end is drawn near, that we're living in the last days, and that the day is not far off when Jesus will come back again for us, his people. This day is being hearkened and warned about by Jesus. He says, in the last generation, remember Lot's wife. Every generation should take heed to Lot's wife, but especially the last generation of believers. You see, just like Lot was righteous on his way to heaven, saved, regenerate, I believe his wife was regenerate as well. I don't believe Lot's wife was a type of sinner or somebody out there in drugs and immorality and stealing and cursing. She was not that type of woman. She was in the house of Lot, and I believe she had come to a place of righteousness by faith in the promise of God. I believe she was justified by faith. I believe that she was on her way to heaven, that she knew her final destiny, and that she believed the God of the Bible, and for 20 years we read that she journeyed in the camp of Abraham. That band of believers who had the covenants of God, the righteousness of God, all the promises of God, she was a member of that band. And yet, of all things, Jesus pulls out one lady from the Old Testament as a warning to the last day church. And he says, remember Lot's wife. Whatever you do in this generation, remember Lot's wife. Why did Jesus say concerning the last generation that we are to remember Lot's wife? What is the context in Luke 17 when he says remember Lot's wife? What are we to remember? What are we to take note of? Why is it that he's drawn attention to her for the last church to be conscious of and remembering her? Look what it says. In verse 32, he says, remember Lot's wife. But look at the verse that precedes it. Verse 31, it says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. What is he talking about here? He is talking about the house or the home of Lot's wife. He is actually talking in verse 31 about in the day of the coming of the Lord, if you're on top of the house, don't even go down in the house to grab your stuff. The Lord is coming. Jesus is coming back. It is the last days. When you're in the top of the house and you see the coming of the Lord and you go, this is the hour, don't you even go back into your house to begin gather. What does it say? Jesus said, your stuff. This word stuff actually means your possessions, your prized possessions, all the things that you've gathered up over the years, all the things that you set up there and say, these are my prized things and this is my house. You see, he's given a warning concerning Lot's wife in the last day that there is a great danger for a church that is righteous or individuals who have been justified by faith, and they go, oh, but I know where I'll be when I die. I know immediately I'll be in the presence of God. But yet there's a warning that they have moved their home into the city of Sodom, and while all of this is going around them, they are just building a home. They've made a place for the past 20 years in the city of Sodom, and it's going to turn to ash. All of their prized possessions, everything they've worked for 20 years, all the things that they place great esteem on, all of these things are going to be turned to ash. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 12 verse 15, and he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. He gives another warning. Beware of covetousness. What is covetousness? It is greedy desire. It is an insatiable desire for more. What does the richest man in the world desire? More. What does the man who's got everything desire? More. What does the beggar in the streets who doesn't have a house, doesn't want a house, doesn't want to be restricted, what's he looking for? Just more money in his cup. There is a greediness or covetousness of spirit that is going to hit the church of this generation like no other generation. This is an hour in which, as we read here in Luke 17, in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, men are building houses, they're marrying, they're going about their business. It's business as normal. I go to work, I go to college, I raise a family, I've got a wife, I've got a husband, I've got children, I've got parents, I've got friends, I've got all my lifestyle. That's what the Lord is warning about in Luke 17. It's all the normal things of life. There's nothing wrong with a job. There's nothing wrong with a house. There's nothing wrong with a garden. There's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with having a good job. There's not even anything wrong with being rich. Jesus never condemned being rich. But if that riches have you, or if it loses your love for Jesus Christ, you are in serious trouble. If that house is a problem, if that house gets in the way of your relationship with God, or it comes first. We heard this morning with the kids, what is it? We have one supreme love to one person, and that is God. Him alone, to love with all of our heart. Do you love him with all of your heart? Do you love him with all of your mind and with all of your strength and with all of your soul? You can't love him with your heart and not love him with your soul. Some people think they spiritually love Christ with their heart, but the soul realm of the intellect, the decisions, the desires, the passions, the thoughts, they can love other things. They've got a split identity. Oh, I can love him, you're first in my life, but I'm going to put all of these things of secular life, they're going to come first. It won't be the things of God's kingdom. It won't be the commands of God. It'll be all these things. You see, I believe when Jesus talks, remember Lot's wife, he is talking about this great danger concerning looking back to what she has in Sodom of natural things. I don't believe that when Lot's wife was rescued from Sodom, and when she was carried out by the angel, you remember when the angel took her and dragged her out by the hand, and they were taken afar off, and the angel says, run for your life, save your life, don't look behind you. Do you remember the command? The angel said, don't even look over your shoulder. Don't look back to that city. It is finished. It's going to be turned into ash. Don't look over your shoulder. Forget about it. It's nothing. Just run for your life. Save your life. It took the angel of the Lord to bring them out. But we knew that Lot's wife, she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? Was it the homosexuality? Was it the unbounded immorality? Was it the murder in that city? Were those the things that she was after? Was it rampant homosexuality that she says, I'm going to miss all of this? No, it wasn't. She wasn't a homosexual. She was righteous. She wasn't looking for the sin of that city. She was a woman who believed in God. She may not have been a good specimen of a follower of God, but she was righteous and she would make it on the day of judgment. God couldn't even judge the city of Sodom until Lot's wife was out of that city. She didn't have a good testimony, but she was so righteous that God would not destroy Sodom until she was out of that city. An angel dragged her out of that city. I will not judge Sodom while you're here. I will drag you out. When she looked over her shoulder back to that city, it wasn't the homosexuality she wanted. It wasn't some drunken state she wanted. She is thinking of a house that she built in that city for 20 years. All her possessions are there. All her memories. Everything that her life was summed up in was in those four walls, if they built four walls. And as she looked back, she says, everything I've worked for, all my motives, all my decisions are there in that city. I can't carry them with me. When she looked back, Jesus was saying, remember Lot's wife, that at the end of her days, as the angel drags her out, she's looking back over 20 years and all that she had to show for 20 years of life was a house in Sodom. That's all she had. There was no testimony. There was no overcoming faith. There was no worship of God. All there was a house that was going to be turned into ash. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. The word remember actually means to exercise the memory. In other words, sit down. Put effort to exercise your memory. It means to rehearse in your mind. What are we to do? In our natural minds and our thinking, we are actually to go over the story of Lot's wife. We are to obey Jesus Christ, to go back to her life and to study her life and to remember what her life was. Have you studied Lot's wife? Have you sat down and asked the Holy Spirit to show you what the sum of her life is? You see, Jesus said, you must do this. Go back, sit down, shut everything out, and look closely at Lot's wife, because it'll mean everything in this last hour. If you follow the example of Lot's wife, you'll lose everything in this last hour. You'll be saved by the skin of your teeth. You'll be saved by fire. You will leave everything behind of any value in your life in this world. Let me very quickly just give you six things here concerning that I would want you to remember Lot's wife concerning. I want to stir up your mind. I want to rehearse the story. I want to leave you with an image in your mind of this lady who left everything in ashes in the city of Sodom. First of all, we see that she was an associate of Abraham's wife, Sarai, before her name was changed to Sarah. Here is Lot's wife. For 20 years, she was a friend of Sarai. She walked with Sarai. She knew Sarai. I'm sure she prayed with Sarai. I'm sure she worshipped with Sarai. I'm sure they talked about the things of God. And Sarai must have shared about the promises of God or things that God was speaking to her. They must have sat at campfires together. These two ladies, for 20 years, they seemed to be in mutual fellowship. For 20 years, they're going in the same direction. For 20 years they desire the same thing. For 20 years they pray at the same prayer altar. This lady, Lot's wife, she watched the faith of Sarai. She also watched the unbelief of Sarai. She also seen the failures of Sarai and the times where she went off course, holding fast to a promise that still was not fulfilled. As Lot's wife looks at Sarai over 20 years, Sarai for 20 years is talking about the promises God has made to her, about this future hope of what God will do in her life. 20 long years she had listened to Sarah say, one of these days, I'm just believing God. I'm praying. God has made a promise unto me. I will not let go of God until I see Him answer. Lot's wife, as she heard this 20 long years, skepticism begins to set in. I watched Sarai 20 years. Still the promise hasn't come. I watched her go down into Egypt. I watched the failures. I watched her husband lie about her. He's a man of faith. This great man of faith, the greatest. And he lies and says, this is my sister, to save his own skin. Here's Lot's wife looking in on this every step of the way. Lot's wife is the second in that camp. She is watching this walk of faith. Well, where is God's answer for Sarai? We're 20 years walking with God. 20 years living in a tent. 20 years sacrificing city life. Living in a tent, here for a few days, on the move again, settling down. What are you following, Sarai? Lot's wife had to watch this for 20 long years. And I believe in her mind and her heart, as she began to watch Sarai grow older, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, still living in a tent, still wandering in a desert, not even knowing where they're going. Look at her husband. He's saying, well, I'm following God, but I'm not really sure where I'm going. But I know I'll get there in the end. Is that a pipe dream or is that real? Here in Lot's wife's mind and heart, she begins to go, what sort of pipe dream is this? She is righteous. She does know the Lord. But she's heard 1,000 sermons about faith in God. She has sat in 1,000 prayer meetings. She's heard everyone say, just keep going. God is going to answer. But she's never seen it. She's still there in a tent saying, where are the testimonies? Where is the answered prayer? Is this vision of a child that's going to be birthed in Sarai? Is it a mirage? Is it a vain dream? Maybe she had too much cheese at night. You know, Sarai, she's getting old now. And she's still talking about having a child, about revival coming to the church. Sure, she's always talked about that. I've heard this for 20 years. Revival, revival, revival. Sarai's going to have a child. And with every passing year, it becomes more impossible, more unlikely. And the mind of Lot's wife becomes more skeptical. It's not that she stopped believing in God. It's not that she lost the reality of God. It's not that she denied that God can speak or that he works in lives. But to see it happen in their lives, she became a skeptic. She doubted that God was hearing the prayers. And she said, why pay a price living in a tent in this wilderness journey whenever nothing comes of it? See, Sarah dwelling in a tent. Sarah did make a choice to live in a tent. That wasn't circumstantial. That wasn't an obligation. She made a choice to be in a tent with that husband and to live such a life. 20 years she walked through that desert, living by an old-fashioned altar in Hebron, or in the place of covenant. There in that place of Hebron, she lived for some 20 years in an old-fashioned tent. Give me an old-fashioned tent again. Church, I want an old-fashioned church. I am not looking for all the new, because I know that will lead into Sodom. Give me an old-fashioned tent with an altar on that hill called Hebron. That's all I'm looking for. Because at that place, that's where God answers every prayer. He fulfills every vision. And he will come just on time. It may take a long time. There may be a lot of living in a tent. But I want to remind you again, this church is only a tent. That's all this church is. It's going to get rolled up one of these days. It's only temporary. You don't have permanent membership in LCC. It's only a tent, and we're only passing through. Secondly, we see that she is called Lot's wife. She's never called by her name. We have Sarai's name, but we don't have Lot's wife's name. She is only called Lot's wife. She is a woman of no name. She's in the story. Christ says to remember her. Yet there's no mention of a name. We know in the Bible that name always denotes character. A name always reveals your character. That's what we have in the Bible. And the very fact that her name is never mentioned, and yet she's there. Very manifestly there. And Jesus says, remember her. Rehearse her whole life. Why is her name never mentioned? Because there's very little character there. Name denotes character, and her great lack was character. Personality is different than character. Don't mix them up. Personality, you all have it. But we don't all necessarily have character. Every one of you are unique, and some of you are more unique than others, believe me. Some of you are more noticeable than others. But I tell you, every one of us has a personality. Every single one of us. The word personality, it actually comes from a Latin word, persona, and it means a mask. It was used in the Greek theater. You know, when the actors all come out and I'm going to play a part and I put a mask on. And it doesn't mean I'm pretending or I'm a hypocrite. It doesn't mean that. What it means is when I put that mask on, this mask represents who I am. It reveals my personality. It reveals the person I am. So painted on the mask is the person I am. That's why this name for mask is persona or personality. That's what a personality is. You might be loud or quiet. There's no sin in that. It's not just a case of the quiet needs to get louder or the loud need to get quieter. We are radically different. But that's personality. There's none spiritual in personality. You can have a quiet personality or a loud one. You can be an introvert or an extrovert. You can be shy or you can be bold. But that is only your personality. All of these are defined as personality. It is the expression or the manifestation of the inner person, of the personality you got from Adam. You didn't get it from Christ. Personality does not come from Christ. Your personality, you got it in the womb from mommy and daddy, but all the way down the line from Adam. Your personality is what you're born with. But Christian character is a very different thing altogether. You see, someone may be known by the fact that they're either the first to help or the last to help. They're the first to encourage or they're the first to discourage you. There's certain people you don't want to tell your dreams to because they'll be the first to say it'll never happen. Yeah. Or there's other people you will quickly go to them and say, will you pray for me about this? Why? Because they say, I do believe God. They will be the first. Yeah. You see, that is all the personal unique attributes that we have. Some are scared, some are courageous. All of this. But personality is not sufficient. Notice what I'm saying. Lot's wife had no character. She lacked character, but she was righteous. She was righteous enough to be saved from Sodom, but she was nameless. She lacked a godly character. She lacked that work of God in her life. If you seen her when she left the camp of Abraham, and you see her when she's leaving Sodom, there's never been a change in her life. She's never progressed. She's making the same decisions she made 20 years ago. She's never moved. Her thinking's never changed. She makes the exact same mistakes that she made 20 years ago. She is stuck. That is a lack of personality. You see, personality is not sufficient. Personality is not Christian character. Personality may be more than what naturally pours forth from you. We need character. Sarai had character. We read in the Bible that the name of Sarai, after Lot left the camp, the name of Sarai is changed from Sarai to Sarah. That God changed her name. What's it saying? God changed her character. There's Lot's wife leaving saying, that lady never changed. No, you didn't see the miracle of God. You didn't hang around here long enough. You may have failed along the way. You might be like Jacob of old. But I want to tell you, hang around for a little longer and we'll see the changing of God within the character of Sarai. Sarai's name was taken. You see, she wasn't just a dreamer. Sarai is there saying, I will have a child. I believe the promise of God. I'm following the man of God. I believe in what God said. And I want to stay in this tent. I don't want to go to Sodom. I don't want to move out of this tent. Lest I think this is my home. Unless I forget, we're only passing through. Very easy, as we heard at the Lord's table. Very easy. We begin to build the vineyards. We begin to build everything. We settle down and we forget that we've been delivered from Egypt and brought out, and we're going somewhere. Amen. We are going somewhere. You see, Lot's wife never seen the change in the character of Sarah. Her name was changed. Her character was changed. The dream of faith actually became a reality. Her name was changed into the mother of multitudes. Here she is. She's barren. She's old. She's prayed 1,000 prayers and they've never yet been answered. Is anyone there? How many prayers have you prayed? And this morning the devil could come and say, where is the answer? Well, let me remind you, Sarai was the same as that. Sarah, all those years of traveling, all the sacrifice, and still the promise hasn't come. But you know what? I'm still a walking. Yeah. I'm still I fell down sometimes. What are you doing down there? Getting back up. Yeah. I'm just going to get up, dust myself down, and I'm going to keep walking. You see, Lot's wife had no character. She was never changed. The word, Greek word character, you'll find it in Hebrews 1 verse 3. It means to actually make an engraving or a mark or make an image on you. That's what character is. It is actually to be engraved upon and have the impression of a person stamped upon you. Doesn't that sound like the believer in Christ? What is character? He takes you, your personality. You're saved, but you're not sanctified. That personality hasn't been changed. All of us in this room have defects of personality. Or maybe there's someone who doesn't this morning. We all have defects of personality. But Christian character is a growth into Christ-likeness. When we go through the valleys, when we go through the trials, when we come through the troubles, the Holy Spirit is engraving upon us the image of Jesus Christ. He is bringing forth a likeness unto Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we see her lack of faith. From a tent in a desert to a house in Sodom. That's what we see in the life of Lot's wife. That doesn't happen overnight. To get from a tent in the land of Canaan to that house in Sodom does not happen in one moment of time, or with one decision, or with one journey, or with one turn of the corner. It is 10,000 steps made, and each step a choice is made. There's a manifestation of the heart. You're given 10,000 choices, 10,000 crossroads you come to, and all the way you're making a journey to Sodom. It didn't happen overnight. You might say, but I failed. Who hasn't? I wish I hadn't this morning. But I want to tell you, there are 10,000 opportunities. Are you making your way to Hebron's Hill? Are you making your way to Sodom City? You see, this lady, Lot's wife, this woman whose character never changed, she lacked faith. We see that she lacked faith. It doesn't take any faith to go to Sodom. Oh, well, I'm going to put my trust on all the economics. I'll make a decision because this is best for me. I've seen people make decisions thinking they're going to get a guy or a girl. And they'll say, I'll make this decision. It wasn't spiritual. Wasn't according to scripture. But going, if I do this, I'll get her and she'll get saved. I've watched shipwrecks with that. I've watched shipwrecks. Mistakes being made. You better make the spiritual decision and say, if the Lord wants me to have that, I'll have that. If he doesn't, I don't want it. You see, Lot's wife, the decision she did make, took no faith whatsoever. She was moved by her eyes. She looked at it. You see, I believe that she was a great influence on Lot. Just don't think, and I believe biblically I've got reasons for saying that. I believe in that tent she was a great power of influence upon Lot. I believe she was a great influence in her ideas, her suggestions. We need to guard our home life. Candace can't just say anything to me. I can't just say anything to her. I don't have the right just to pour out every idea and thought. I don't have that right. When you live under God, pillow talk isn't up for grabs for anyone, or else the devil will come in on that. We need to guard all of these things. I believe Lot's wife could have been a power for righteousness upon Lot, or to make him set his tent towards Sodom. I believe that tent was more important to her than Lot. Lot didn't really care where he lived. Us men were not, we don't think as much about homes as ladies do, and there's nothing wrong with a home. I thank God for my home. I thank God I've got a garden. Yeah. But I want to tell you, we want Christ to be there, predominant and number one. If that house becomes a problem, let it go on the market. We'd gladly move into a caravan and say we're free. We must stay free in heart. You see, Sodom's wife, she looked with the eye. She had desires of the heart. And eventually she wanted a house in the city of Sodom. This is why Christ said, remember Lot's wife. She looked back to the city. She couldn't leave what she left behind in that city. What does a city represent to someone who doesn't put faith in God? That city and that house represents security. It represents stability. It represents permanence. And we know that after she moved into the city of Sodom, it was the most dangerous place to be. All those armies came and took them captive, isn't that right? It wasn't secure. Sarai, with her faith in the tent, she was safe. She was far safer than Lot's wife in the city of Sodom with its high gates and its broad walls. You see, faith is security. Having faith in God is the greatest wisdom. The most practical people you'll meet are those who have great faith. They're not stupid. They're not foolish. They're not living a dream. They are the most practical, down-to-earth people. But Lot's wife never learned that. She never learned about this walk of faith. She never learned what it was to make a decision of stepping out in faith in obedience in God. She set her home towards this world. She had everything organized. Everything was secure in its place. I know how I built my home. She knew that. But all the time that she lived in Sodom, 20 years, Sarah is in Hebron. Sarah lived in Hebron in a tent for 20 years. On one of the highest places in Israel. She was becoming a woman of faith. The first 20 years didn't show up much, but I want to tell you that second 20 years of her life revealed everything. Now, first 20 years, you could say there's nothing different between Lot's wife and Sarai. They're the same. Look at the mistakes of Sarai. I can point to her failures. Oh yes, you could have the first 20 years, but she kept walking with God. And that second 20 years, they're radically different. One is a woman of unbelief who builds her home in Sodom. The other is a woman of faith who has her tent in Hebron. Hebrews chapter 11 makes mention of this lady Sarai as one of the great women of faith. By faith, Sarah. What a statement. Sarah was a woman of faith. You won't get that faith in Sodom. You'll get that living in a tent. Oh, is there questions and doubts and fears? 10,000. But faith will overcome them. Fourthly, we see her lack of example. Peter talks about Sarah in 1 Peter in chapter 3. He speaks about those old holy women who trusted God. He's talking about all the ladies of the Old Testament who really walked with God. They were holy women. They trusted in God. And it says of Sarah in verse 6 that she obeyed Abraham. What it means by obeying Abraham is a submission of heart. It's not just I do what he says or I do whatever I'm told. It's not talking about that. It is talking that she recognized the order of God. She recognized that God had put her in a particular home and put her beside a particular man. There is a submission. There is a godly submission in the marriage. That if contravened or contradicted, there will be consequences. See, Sarah followed a man of faith. She could have hindered that and said, I must have a house. Why don't we go with Lot's wife? I mean, all of these years, if anyone could have complained in that tent, it was Sarai. 20 years I've dreamed of a child and there's no child. I'm getting old. I can't even get up out of my seat in the same way. I've been praying all of these years. Where is it? You see, we're told Sarah was an example to women in our generation. And it said, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarai was not afraid in any amazement. Interesting thing Peter says. It literally means to be frightened with great alarm. He says, look at Sarah. She was not frightened with great alarm. I wonder if Lot's wife was. I wonder if all the fears gripped her heart. I wonder if she was alarmed of her future. What am I going to do when I'm old? What am I going to do in 5 years? What if it doesn't work out? I wonder if Lot's wife was so alarmed that the pressure in that home had led to setting that tent towards Sodom. Because Sarah is given as an example of one who does well and who was not afraid or was not alarmed at the things around her. You see, Sarah gives birth to daughters who are like this. But look at the daughters of Lot's wife. You see, you women are to set an example in this church. I want to assure you how the women are in this church is how this church will go. It'll affect the very morals that are intricate in this church. I believe it's women who will either raise the standard or they will lower the standard. Either they'll be an example of what the church is to be. Every woman is a type of the church. Every little lady in the Bible, the Shulamite in Solomon's story, Sarai, all of these ladies are an example of what the church is to be. God has chosen you in this church to be an example of the heart of the real church. How that lady goes will affect the church world. Look at the ladies that have filled the church of our generation. Proud, arrogant, blatant, immoral, and it's affected a whole generation. It's not only them, there's many reasons, but God has set a standard. A godly woman is a great power for God. Sarai was a great power. I'm not sure Abraham would have done it without her. It's okay to talk about Abraham's faith. I'm going to tell you, Sarai had faith. And we're going out here. Abraham, where are we going? I don't know, but I'm going to follow God. Okay. Oh, I'm scared, but okay. Let's go. Let's pack things up. I've watched you close enough to know you want to follow God. I will follow. You see, but look at the daughters of Lot's wife. They had bad marriages. They both married homosexuals. And then the marriage wasn't consummated. And the two sons-in-law died in the city of Sodom because of their sin. That's the example that Sarah had in her two children. There was no influence. 20 years of you living like that, you made no mark on your daughters. Bad marriages. They'll go further than you have gone. They had bad morals. Remember the alcohol and all of the sexual side of things later. You see, those ladies, those two daughters had the morals of Sodom. The morals of some, they got out of Sodom, but not the morals. The morals of Sodom were in them. They managed to escape the fires and the judgment of Sodom. But some of that thinking got in them, the decisions, the attitude of heart, and it destroyed those two ladies. Those young ladies should have had a mother who was a godly example. A woman who wanted to live in a tent. She spoke by her life, it's okay. You don't need to live in a tent. You don't need to live by an altar. Don't you worry using Sarai as an example. Fifthly, we see her reluctance to leave Sodom. In chapter 19, verse 16 of Genesis, it says, "And when the angel came to Lot's family," and it says that they lingered. And the word lingered there means to question, to hesitate, or to be reluctant, to delay. That wasn't just Lot, that was Lot's wife. That was the two daughters. I believe Lot's wife is there with a thousand questions. What, leave my house? Leave all these things? Lot, let's start packing the bags. Ask the angel to give us 3 months to pack everything. This is everything I have. I have worked for 20 long years on this. I can't leave this. You won't get into the kingdom of God with it. I believe she was questioning, hesitating, and reluctant because this is where she built her life. She didn't build it for eternity. She wasn't living in a tent. If you live in a tent, there's going to be some things you don't bring with you. And lastly, number 6, we see her disobedience. It actually said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee." The angel of the Lord says, "Get out of this city." Yeah. He dragged her out. She didn't want to go. Lot's wife did not willingly. Where's Sarai? She's in Hebron. Where is she? She's walking with God. She's got a child. Mm-hmm. She's got all the fulfillment. But Lot's wife doesn't even know about it. Mm-hmm. Here we see that Lot's wife, having been dragged out of the city, dragged far into the distance, into a little city. And it says she looked behind her. It actually says in Genesis 19, she was behind Lot. He's up the front saying, let's get out of here. She's lagging far behind. Don't lag behind, saints of God. I know there's trials, I know there's troubles, but let's keep going forward. She lagged behind, then she looked behind, and God dealt with her. I believe she was righteous. I believe the Bible shows that. I believe that she was accepted of God, but not her lifestyle. She got to heaven by the skin of her teeth, as by fire. But let me finish on this point. Not with Lot's wife, but let's look at Sarah as we finish. Where is Sarah? She's in Hebron. What's she done for 20 years? She stayed where she should have been. She kept dreaming the dreams, praying the prayers, worshipping the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. She was following God. She was there saying, I want to stay in this tent. I don't want to settle down in this world. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. It says concerning Abraham and Sarah in Hebrews 11, concerning their faith. It says concerning Abraham in verse 10, and he looked for a city. What, Sodom? No. Jerusalem? Not of this earth. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a city. It wasn't Sodom. They pitched everything towards Sodom. I am looking for a city this morning. I'm looking for a city this world cannot touch. I'm looking for an eternal city that's going to come down out of heaven, created by God, perfect in righteousness. That's the city I'm looking for. That foundation can never be destroyed. There's no unrighteousness there. Abraham was looking for a city, but notice this. It says next concerning Sarah, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. She's an old lady. You ever feel tired in the journey? Any wrinkles along the way? Guys, you get over 40, you start seeing things or noticing things and feeling things and you go, uh-oh, there's something coming here. Sarah began to feel all the effects of age, all the weariness. She can't do what she once done. She can't even do all the things she desires to do. But she does have faith in God. And it says actually, in her latter days when it was impossible for God to move and impossible for her to have a child, that she received strength. The word strength there is dunamis. It means the power of the Holy Ghost. By faith, she instantly received the power of the Holy Ghost. She's an old dried up woman at the end of her journey. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon her. I'm talking about the church in the last days. There is a Lot church. There is a Lot's wife in the end days. There's a church like Lot's wife who'll get out of here with nothing. For 20 years they've done nothing. But there is a Sarai church in the last generation. In the day when sodomy is made public and rampant, there's a Sarai living at Hebron. And by faith she receives dunamis, or the strength of the Holy Ghost. And it says to conceive seed. I can't do this, church. We are dreaming, believing, praying, making a journey. The church out there might laugh at us. What are you looking for? An old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival where thousands come in and repent, where cities are changed. Amen. You're a dreamer. Yes, I am.
Right.
You're after a mirage. No, I'm not. This was birthed out of the Word of God. This was put in my heart. And like Sarai, one of these days along this journey, we are going to suddenly, we might look worn, we might be tired, might be feeling a few pains in her back. May not be able to pick up things like we used to. I'm talking about her spiritual stamina. And we go, oh God, what's happened to me here? But in one moment of time, there is an end day church that's going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And we will bring forth something that is so remarkable that it's going to fill the earth with more children, spiritual children, than the stars in the heaven or the sand in the seashore. Please stand with me.